is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
I'd like to welcome you all here to 8th Sunday after Pentecost. For those watching at home, our services from the Lutheran Service Book, Divine Service 4, our hymns will be numbered 752, 713, 956, 507, 620, and 935. And which is a new feature of having a Saturday evening service, is I have a wedding tomorrow at 6:30 tonight for Haley Four, getting married today. Anyway, so I'm going to leave the beginning of the last hymn. So I won't be here to preach on the way out. Also, I'll make my announcements now instead of at the end. And not too much. We do have our cry room, restroom door is in, and the door to the narthex. So now you can go in and use the restroom and lock the door. It's quite a feature. And then also, though, the restroom, there's a new door on the other side of the narthex going downstairs to the restrooms. That door should be unlocked for on Saturday evening and Sunday morning. But it's there, so now we can lock that room in the week, and people won't have access to the daycare and preschool rooms from up here with that. So, if you have any questions, let me know. Making progress. Also, we have new windows in this building. All the basement windows now have been changed over to glass block, which will be a much better feature as our tornado shelter, and so that the glass block will be much better protection for that. So, we can kind of look at that from the outside. Well, Father, our service this evening, we begin on page 3 with confession and absolution, followed by the love and sharing of peace and the procession of him. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
We made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, have the record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us kneel and be seated with the confession of sin. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us rise and face towards the center. We greet each other in the peace of the Lord. The lamp turns on. The peace of the Lord be with you all. And the pall is on. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
Thank you.
receive what you have promised, we may love what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading of our lessons from God's holy word.
The Old Testament reading for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 7. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you. For you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia verse.
The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down, and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for the children's message.
Sugar, yes we do. This would be pretty good, wouldn't it? Could you eat? We could split that.
you and everyone else can say some prayer, say a prayer with me, say the word that you need. Dear Father,
dear God,
thank you for knowing all things.
Thank you for knowing all things.
Thank you for calling us.
Thank you for calling us.
For your purpose.
For your purpose.
To share your word.
We continue with the sermon hymn from God Can Nothing Move Me on page 8.
Thank you.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today in our gospel reading, Jesus teaches us four parables. The challenge of these parables is that a couple of them don't have an obvious explanation. But when Jesus finishes the first three, he asks, "Have you understood all these things?" And they said to him, "Yes." So it's entirely possible Jesus never gave an interpretation of these parables. Now that'd be fine if the meaning was obvious as if the meaning was as obvious to us as it was to the disciples. The first two parables are very short. The themes are similar. A man discovers something of great value, then sacrifices everything that he has in order to obtain it. In the first parable, the item of great value is a treasure. In the second, it's a precious pearl. Despite the simplicity of the two parables, faithful theologians have come up with two possible explanations and interpretations. One interpretation is that the kingdom of heaven is the item of great value, the treasure, the pearl. In this case, the parable teaches that we should be like the man or the merchant and give up everything to obtain the kingdom of heaven. The other interpretation is that the kingdom of heaven is the main actor in the parable, the man or the merchant. In this case, both the treasure and the pearl represent the Holy Christian Church. The idea is that the kingdom of heaven suffers all in the person of Jesus Christ in order to redeem you, his treasure, his pearl of great price. The fact that good thoughts, good, solid, faithful theologians can, in all honesty, come up with two valid, reasonable interpretations of the parable does illustrate one point. Unless the Bible gives the explanation to a parable, we should not base any teachings on parables. We can use parables to illustrate teachings that are clearly expressed in other parts of the Bible, but we should not rely on parables alone as a source of doctrine. But what should we do with the parables as we heard from Jesus today? Although I'm not nearly as smart as the great theologians of the church, I'm going to give you something to think about when you hear these parables. Jesus begins the first of these parables and says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up." This sounds like the kingdom of heaven is the treasure hidden in the field. In that case, Jesus is illustrating that the kingdom of heaven is precious. In fact, so precious that Jesus goes on to say, "Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." This implies that there is no price too high for the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. Now this would be great if it wasn't for one important detail. As the Apostle Paul writes, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Because our sin has corrupted our human nature, we do not recognize the value of the kingdom of heaven. We're certainly not inclined to surrender everything in order to obtain it. And even if we wanted to obtain it, we're not able to pay the price required by so great a treasure. So we are beyond hope." But now we hear the second parable from the mouth of Jesus. This time Jesus teaches, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls." In this parable, the kingdom of heaven is the merchant who searches for fine pearls. With this parable, Jesus portrays the kingdom of heaven as the one who does the searching. The kingdom of heaven is the reign of God who searches for excellent pearls. But what are these excellent pearls for which the kingdom of heaven searches? At another time, Jesus himself says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." You are the excellent pearl. In this second parable, Jesus is the merchant who sold all that he had, even his body, to death on a cross in order to obtain you, his precious pearl. Consider Jesus' words. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field, which a man found and covered up. In this parable, the kingdom of heaven is a precious treasure beyond anything that we could pay. Nevertheless, the second parable, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. In the second parable, the kingdom of heaven searches for you. You are the precious pearl for which Jesus Christ gave his all. So what difference does it make that you're a precious pearl of the kingdom of heaven? Well, that becomes apparent, very apparent in the next parable. The parable of the net makes it very clear what will happen to all people on Judgment Day. Jesus compares the people of this world to the contents of a net full of fish. Just as the net gathers up all things from the water, so Judgment Day will gather up all things. Just as fishermen sort the contents of the net into trash and good fish, so God will send his angels to separate the evil from the righteous. The righteous are those who have the righteousness of Christ through the Holy Spirit's gift of faith. They are God's valuable treasure, his precious pearl. The evil are those who refuse the Holy Spirit's gift, rely on their own righteousness for salvation. They may be valuable and precious in their own sight, but that means nothing in God's eyes. The Bible tells us we are sinful creatures. The psalmist says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." From this we learn we're sinners from the instant we come into existence at conception. The prophet Isaiah says, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, takes us away." From this verse, we learn that nothing we do in our lives can change our sinful status. Paul tells us, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." From this, we learn that no one can escape from this sinful condition. From today's parables, you learn that God still considers you precious in spite of your sinful condition. You learn that God will spare nothing to ransom you from this sinful condition. Instead, he will give all that he has in order to purchase and redeem you from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Peter writes, "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." From this we learn that Christ gave it all. He paid for you with the currency of his holy, innocent blood, a shedding of blood leading to death. You know Christ's payment was sufficient. He does not remain in the grave, but he rises on the third day. His resurrection assures you that you are indeed God's treasure. You are his precious pearl. His resurrection assures you that you also will rise from the dead. It assures you and all believers, God's holy and precious people, that you will enjoy heaven with him forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Scott Barrett, Kim Williams' brother, has bone cancer. Dolores Bowman's son, Brian, awaiting surgery. For Lucas Weiss, the unborn great-grandson of Pastor Camps, who's been having complications, been improving. For Virginia Elrod, who's at Jamestown, but not doing well. For Gary Blank, Donna Schumacher's father, who's been diagnosed with cancer. For Nancy Hedrick, Ruth Selmayr's cousin, diagnosed with MS. For Deanna Hughes, Ruth Selmayr's daughter, having liver problems. For Dick Tendon, recovering from surgery. For Bob Burnett, who's having a hip replacement on the 20th and now recovering. And for Pam Nabb and Judy Suffolk at the death of their brother Mark Heck in South Carolina. O Lord, we are your people, chosen by your grace to be your own possession, and granted mercy upon mercy. Hear your people who cry to your need, and remember us according to the favor you have shown to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. That the Lord may open our hearts to prayer and guide us in his holy conversation, so we may know those things for which we ought to pray and seek them according to his grace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
that the church may prosper, the good news of Jesus Christ go forth unhindered, and the Spirit bring many into the fellowship of the redeemed. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
that the Lord may bless our nation and those who govern us, we may use the gift of freedom to live holy, upright, and godly lives to the praise of his glory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
that the sick may be healed, the troubled granted peace, the grieving comfort, and the dying kept in peace, especially we pray for Sheila, Scott, Ryan, Lucas, Virginia, Gary, Nancy, Deanna, Dick, Bob, and Mark Peck's family. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
that the Lord may grant us generous hearts, that we may honor him with the worship of our hearts and bring to him the tithes and offerings that support his work. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
that we may receive with faith the Lord's body and blood today, and by this holy communion be forgiven of our sins, strengthened in faith, and equipped for his service, glorifying God with our words and works. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
holy God, mighty Lord, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. Hear the prayers of your people who cry to you in their need and who plead to you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places. Give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him in the death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns through all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, saying, drink of it, all of it. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
Thank you. peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.